Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your eyes.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to Monday's Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and here we go again. And how about those Houston Astros? They are going to the World Series, and of course, Dodgers probably should be the Dodgers. Not that I wouldn't like to see Houston win, but I think that this is the Dodgers' time, and I think they have the best team in baseball. But anyways, the markets, 6 consecutive weekly high closings. Are you kidding me? Are we in that good a shape? And, of course, apparently, based on the stock markets, we are. And that is the one thing to always remember, okay, is at the end of the day, if you're short the market and it goes up, you lose. All right? If you're long the market and it goes down, you lose. And what we have to remember is we can't fight what's going on. And no matter what, again, we can always make reasons and excuses. But at the end of the day, here we are. Right, the markets are at 6 consecutive weekly highs. It has not happened since 1998. And of course, what was going on in 1998? What do we have then? Oh, the internet bubble. So I guess the question is this a bubble? And the second question would be, is it going to pop? So my answers are pretty simple, okay? I personally believe it's a bubble, and I personally believe it will pop. The problem is when? I have no idea. It could last longer than you and I could possibly imagine, all right? It already has, but it can continue longer, so we can't base it on what's going on right now, number one. Number two, all right? The markets are, you don't know when they can change. And of course, it will be something that will come out of the clear blue sky. And when it does, then we'll be ready for it. But the one thing I can say, I think with almost a 100% certainty, is that the markets themselves are not going to go straight down when they do go down. Again, last week was the 30th anniversary of the stock market collapse of 87, and of course totally misrepresented on air. How do I know? Because I was there. I traded. All right, I traded through it. Totally misrepresented on what had happened and whether it can happen again. And the answer is no, it cannot happen again. Okay, because of the way that the system is now set up. If you take the perfect storm of what happened back then, which number one was there was no 24-hour trading. Okay, that helped relieve a lot of the volatility. Number two, there wasn't as much information around and how to handle things. Okay, so those were things that were much different in those days. All right. Now, you get a chance. If you've been with me for any length of time, you know that if the markets collapse early, like overnight, you get an email from me to sit back and relax. Don't force the next trade and don't force yourself out. Let at least the markets react. Okay. So now, we have these people talking about something that they have no idea what they're talking about. I will say that 1987 was the eeriest trading day because in those days, we were very busy. In those days, the floor was very loud. That's why a lot of us guys are deaf, in our older years because of that. But that day, the floor, it was deathly quiet. It was eerily quiet. And, of course, a lot of things went on, and it was just a crumble. But the meantime is it was a buying opportunity. And of course, you know, all big meltdowns are a buying opportunity at some point. But I think that's why we can't say today that, you know, the markets are ending. At some point they will, but, you know, when is the question, and we don't know the when. That's always the problem if you're trying to time the market. Now, you can try to time the market on a short time cycle because, again, A, the loss is not that much if you're wrong, and it's a much easier read. But it's hard to time the longer-term cycles because they will go as long as they feel they can. So my simple point is then, again, I think this is a bubble. There's no question in my mind it's a bubble. I think that we're overvalued. We have valuations that are higher than 1929. So everything that I see says that it's sick and it's no good. Now, but let's give full disclosure. I have not sold any of my long stocks out, okay? I haven't dumped anything trying to prepare for it. I mean, I hedge, so I guess that's the same thing, but I don't sell. Now, I'm trying to put the short side from the day trading standpoint, you know, from the short term, because I do believe that we're going to break. But again, I'm not going to tell you that it's going to go down tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you that it can go, you know, when it's going to go down, because, you know, we're going to talk to Matt Demmer later, and he's going to tell you that he thinks we're going to new highs. So there you have it. Now, you know, you're looking at two guys who read charts, and, you know, I think that's something that you have to just understand that, you know, the market is the market, and you cannot fight what the market wants to do. And I think that's the bigger thing. But I think we look and take notice that right now, what do we have? We've got a market that goes up on light volume, which indicates that's retail buying. We've got an economy that continues to be stroked about and how good it is. And again, I'm happy to hear from anybody if you agree with me or if you don't agree with me. I say the economy sucks. That's my opinion. You know, again, I think we're still kind of in a recession. But if you think I'm wrong or whatever, shoot me an email. Again, I don't know that I'm right. That's what I see, and that's what I feel. But when I look at the markets in general, I don't see something really exciting. I see that the Fed has basically manipulated everybody into the equity space. Now, I mean, is the equities bad? No, I don't think the equities are bad. I think long haul, the equities are the place to be. However, okay, and this is the big however, I also believe that, you know, when you destroy or destruct the free market system, which I believe that they have done with their policy, I then believe that, you know, they kind of get the power so they can get you in, and then they can just crack them. Now, again, I don't want to make it like it's, you know, like it's totally a farce, although I believe most of it is. But again, you can't pour everybody into one asset class and then hope that it continues to move. And to me, that's a bigger problem of what we haven't talked about, because that's where the manipulation of these markets come in. Is you know, nobody's got any place. You know, it's, remember the Richard Gere and Offers of Gentlemen. I got no place else to go, and there's no place else to go in the markets if you want any yield. Okay, and that is the big thing, especially for people that have retired, you know, fixed income. You know, they don't want to go into their nest egg, and you've now forced them to gamble with their nest egg, and I think that sets up something that's even worse than any of us can possibly imagine up coming on down the road. And, you know, ease on down the road. It's going to be a big ugly, I believe. Okay. But again, I also believe the markets will come back, but that's after they destroy another group of folks and their dough. Okay. Sad, but true. But what's not sad is that this is the Bubba Show, and I'm always happy. And of course, we are on LibertyTalk.fm, and you can download the show right there every single day, and also the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And just a little reminder, you know, we have a new link, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And what we're trying to do is raise money for the high school investing program. Obviously, I sponsored All By My Lonesome, and it's getting a little bit pricey. So we're trying to figure it out and try to help it keep it alive, since we're in 300 high schools and looking to get into at least 3,000 or 30,000 when it's all said and done. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break. We're going to come back with our friend Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the one who brings great things to our life. And unfortunately, the company that we were talking about didn't bring such good things to life. But also under the weather, but fighting with us, it's Jane King from Lila Max Media and the Kaching Report. She's not feeling well, but she said she can't miss the Bubba Show. And here she is. Jane King, what's up?
Yeah, not a great radio voice today, but, you know, entrepreneurs got to show up. I mean, even when you're tired and you have no voice and you're, you know, sniffling, and you still got to be here. So I'm treading through, but I'm getting a lot of rest over the weekend.
Yeah, you got to work, you know. You want to make money, you got to work. So
got to work.
So, okay, so there's some things to talk about, right? First thing we have the vote, which passed, okay,
yes.
51-49.
Yes.
What's your thoughts? Where does it take us next?
Oh, I'm like, joyful. First of all, it paves the way for tax reform, which is desperately needed and awesome. I mean, I just wrote a ridiculously large check to New York State and the IRS on Monday. And so, in fact, I even talked to our accountant about tax reform. And I mean, I felt like I was putting away so much money to pay taxes and still owe more. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I'm very, very happy to see that there are tax cuts possibly in the works and maybe some things for small business. And I just think it's just so needed. And I mean, our tax code is just like this enormous, like, blob. It's like a blob that, like, just eats everything. Like, people put stuff on it and it just grows and grows and grows, and it absolutely needs to be reformed. So very happy about that. And I'm very happy that the Senate actually did something. I mean, this is, you know, that they actually got what the public was thinking, that they're clueless and inactive, and actually passed something. So there's a lot of positive stuff about this.
Now, you know, again, you're a small business entrepreneur, and of course, I believe that, you know, everything that's been done, you know, over the last, you know, I don't know, 15, 16 years, you know, Obama, and even before Obama, but they've really destroyed, you know, the ability for small businesses to succeed because of, you know, the tax code, because of it's harder to get money, you know, all the reasons that we've talked about in the past. So do you think if they get this through, does this loosen up the thing and make it easier for small business to get back in business and start new companies again?
I think so. I mean, first of all, the regulations that were put in place under the Obama administration that Trump has, you know, started to get rid of are great. I mean, regulations is as detrimental to running a business as taxes. You know, you got to follow this law and this law and this law and this law or you get fined. And, I mean, it's just like, it's mind-numbing, like all the stuff that's out there. So that was a huge step. And then tax reform is big. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, there's so much that gets paid in taxes and all of that. And I understand, and, you know, and I appreciate, you know, like all the amenities that we have as American citizens. But come on, I mean, there's got to be just a ton of waste out there. And there's never any talk about like cutting budgets or kind of looking, having just a full-blown government audit and what actually is paying off. I think that's really needed as well. So that would be my next recommendation after tax reform is a full government audit. So, I think, you know, this is all money that goes to the government that, you know, prevents me from hiring somebody. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, would love to do with this. I'd love to spend some more money on marketing that I'm not able to do because every month, you know, you have this limited amount and you got to kind of dole it out, and taxes is one of the things you got to pay for.
So, you know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, I had this ongoing battle with a friend of mine about, you know, Trump. And it's not that he's not a Trump supporter or whatever, but he's got issues. And, you know, of course, a lot of people have issues with Mr. Trump or President Trump. But, you know, I think number one, and one of his things he was going to do was going to attack the term limits in office. And, of course, we haven't heard a peep of that since he made that statement. You have any thought to that?
Well, first of all, I actually do think term limits are a good idea. Sadly, I wish that, you know, Americans would take it upon themselves to kind of give people term limits. but we just vote for who there's so much money and so much corruption in the political system that the same people just manage to keep getting elected. I think it's like 90% of incumbents continue to get elected. So I do think term limits are good. I think fresh ideas are great. I mean, just bringing some fresh, different ideas, some people from business, some people from education. I mean, like all different kinds of industries coming in and just injecting new ideas. And so I do, you know, I am a supporter of term limits. I would give the president a break on it. I mean, just think of everything he's had. He's had tax reform. He's had health care. He's had North Korea. He's had, you know, incoming fire from 50 different sides, you know, including the media. So, you know, I mean, I think term limits, you know, may come. It's probably just not a priority right now.
And, of course, speaking of the fire and everything else, what did you think about General Kelly's speech, or not speech, but, you know, answering questions in the press room? What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, he's awesome. I mean, first of all, he had that in that press conference a couple of weeks ago when he talked about, oh, yeah, I'm not getting fired. I mean, it was just like this takedown of all this ridiculous stories that are out there that it just really shows, like, how the media works right now. That, you know, if it's somebody's, you know, the janitor in the White House that says something, I mean, they'll use it as an unnamed source. I mean, so he was really good about that. And then yesterday, I mean, just the long speech. I mean, he's gone through, you know, losing a son in battle, and just, you know, to talk about that. And when he opened it up to questions, he said, anybody here a Gold Star family? And not one hand went up among the media. So, I mean, it just tells you something right there. They're writing about the stuff they don't know about. They're jumping on rumors. I mean, I'm a member of the media, too, but not the mainstream media. And, you know, I don't like what I see in the media, what's happening right now.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, I had to work last night and, you know, I didn't get to I wanted to watch the vote. I didn't get a chance to watch it. And so I was trying to find the results. And, you know, I went to all the channels and, you know, everybody's got regular programming on. You know, by the time I was done working, so I flipped to, God forbid, CNN, right? It was my last choice, right? And yeah. There's a guy, I think his name is Lemon. I don't know what his first name, I forget what his first name was, but so I was hoping they'd say something. I was trying to read the crawler, and of course, what does he do? He turns the General Kelly speech or whatever into, well, it was Donald Trump's fault for talking the way he did anyways, and how come General Kelly didn't mention anything about Donald Trump? I said, really? Are you kidding me? Here's a guy that goes out there and gives you all this, and now you want to now bash for this. And I always want to turn it back to Donald Trump. I love the way that we've become, you know, so lefty here, and there's not even, you have no chance, right? Every station is basically that way except for a couple, and I think it's sad. I think it's a sad state when we've given up, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Jane, that the Democrats and Republicans were kind of right down the center, and there's only a few issues that separated them. Now the world separates us. It's amazing.
Wow. No kidding. I mean, we are so – well, I think one thing you do have to understand is that, I mean, everybody in the media is in general very liberal. I mean, I know that just from private conversations I've had, you know, in news vans and things like that, just talking to people out on stories. But I think a lot of people also see in the media an opportunity, like a business opportunity. So, you know, maybe Lemon is, you know, he knows he can boost his viewership among the anti-Trumpers by saying this or saying that. So I think the whole sense of fairness has kind of gone away, and they're just kind of more like promoting their profile, you know, trying to get viewers, trying to rouse people up. I mean, they think that, you know, this draws viewers and that helps business and that helps ad revenue. And I think that's a lot of what we're seeing behind this, too.
I think that's a lot of hooey, but what's not a lot of hooey is our friend Jane King playing sick today on the disabled list, but she didn't miss the Bubba Show. Jane, thanks so much. It's always great to
thanks,
have you
Todd.
On. I appreciate it. Friend Jane King, and we love that she comes in sick. You know, it's a grind. You know, this business, all businesses are a grind, and, you know, there's times you'd rather not, and here she is playing hurt and playing sick today. And of course, she's also real big into financial literacy with me. She's we've done a lot of things together, and I'm going out to New York to do a podcast with her for the younger kids, because I believe it needs to start when you're younger. And I love what she's doing, and I love what she brings to the table, because let's face it, guys, you know, all of us could use a little bit more financial literacy. Not just kids. I mean, a lot of the adults in the room don't have it because we didn't learn it. It wasn't part of it. Now, I think, see, to me, financial literacy and other things are just as important as woodworking and other things. Of course, they don't offer those classes either anymore. That's the real problem with the school system today, is that they don't give students the proper program. They're only teaching to the test to get that federal money, and that's a problem the way I see it. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to Jane about it, but that is a problem the way I see it. But in the meantime, you know, again, we need to get our children so we can make the world a better place, literate, on finances. And, of course, that's why I have the high school program. And if you want to help out, you can go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Also, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And if you want to be on Bubba's daily updates, they're free. I email them to you every day right after the close. I do a quick 4 to 5 minute video. I'll send an email to you. You can see what my opinions are for the next day. Please go to the website, BubbaTrading.com. It'll pop right up for you. And in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Arts. We'll be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break.
Margie said, Roy.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show technical expert. And make sure you check out his website at DemeterResearch.com. Matt, welcome aboard, man.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So you last week, and actually the last couple weeks, had said that you felt we were going to new highs. And, of course, for the first time in 20 years, we closed on six consecutive weekly highs. What are they looking like to you now?
It's been super strong, incredibly strong, to the point now that I'm looking at the Dow specifically, and it's now reached a daily RSI of 88, and as far as I look back, that's the highest it's ever gotten to. So it's really overbought. Weekly RSI is at 81, also matching a prior high. It's record high. We should get a pullback at some point soon, but I'm looking for it to happen around 23,600. And so that means we got another 270 points to the upside. And then I think we're going to get a breather. I think it's going to get a pullback. And then I think at that point, then, you know, once we get a pullback, then it can really, you know, these indicators have to, you know, pull in a bit and relax a bit for another move higher.
But I think one of the things I have noticed, you know, obviously I'm not bullish, but I know you are. One of the things I've noticed is that, you know, markets don't have to, you know, pull back to resolve those indicators. They can go sideways for an extended period of time, kind of like the Russell has been doing for about the last 3 weeks. It's really been going pretty much sideways. And that also relieves those overbought or oversold conditions, does it not?
Yeah, it does. That's a good point. I mean, with the Russell, I was hoping for a pullback, and yeah, it's just been chopping sideways. And that it had been super overbought on the daily RSI, and now it's more or less neutral. So we'll see. The last time the Dow got this overbought, however, we had a 7% pullback, and the time after that was 1.7% pullback. So yeah, it could chop sideways. That's possible.
I mean, the sadness I feel about trading right now. Well, I mean, is there's no action, there's no volume, there's no volatility. I haven't talked to you yet about what the commercial are doing with the VIX, but I mean, if I'm a commercial and I have money that I can just go ahead and not have to worry about it, which is basically what they do, I wouldn't have a problem buying the VIX down here in the nines. I mean, you know, can it go to seven? Yeah, but you know, most likely, if you look at it from just a straight risk reward model, I mean, yeah, it could go down. You know, is it going to zero? I don't know. I don't think so. So, you know, how low can it go versus how high can it go if the markets do change? I mean, so what do you think about that philosophy?
Well, as far as how I don't think the VIX, I think before the VIX can break lower, we're going to get a more significant pop. I think we popped what 10.50 last week, which was not, I mean, that almost seemed like real volatility, you know, compared to what we'd seen for the 2 weeks prior. I think that we need some sort of VIX spike, and it doesn't have to be larger, you know, maybe up to, you know, 15 even.
Yeah.
But it's on my support, and the issue is that support going to break for me? And I think maybe it will, but I don't think it's going to until we've gotten a little bit more of an upside move.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, if you take a probability model and you say, okay, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to just buy this and know that, you know, 6 months from now, it'll probably be higher than it is now at one point, and probably significantly, you know, it may be worth the chance. I mean, there's certain things, you know, it's kind of like when I trade grains or I trade other products, you know, companies are one thing because they can go out of business, but, you know, unless we're going to stop eating, you know, grains aren't going under. I mean, they may go lower, but there's a good chance they may pop somewhere. And the same thing I feel about the VIX, you know, it's like, yes, to a certain point, I mean, you know, where's it going to go? And I look at that and I go, you know, look at everybody's buying. In the meantime, basically volume drops almost every day. And, you know, it's like, who's doing the buying here? And I guess I'm going to ask you, who's doing the buying here?
Yeah, the commercials are doing the buying, and it's, you know, they've, even though they're buying at these low levels, it's one of these things where they have to roll the futures forward, and as they do, they always have to roll up to a higher price because each month you have that roll, so it still hurts them when they buy, but if you look at the commercials, they're typically the smart money, and you look at the managed money traders, they tend to be the dumb money compared to the commercials. So they're shorting the heck out of those futures. So, you know, that I think is an insane thing to do, but they're doing it. And the commercials are taking the other side, which I think is the right trade. It's just a question of timing. When will that, you know, really pay off?
Now, you've been, you know, saying and been a fan of the NASDAQ versus the others. You think the NASDAQ's got the biggest, I guess, pop left in it. Now, last week, the NASDAQ was a little weaker than the others, but again, obviously up and making new highs. Are you still the opinion that NASDAQ is the place to be long if you're going to be long in this market?
Yeah, I think this past week or two has been more of an anomaly. I don't think it's going to continue where the Dow is the strongest and the NASDAQ was the weakest. I think it's going to, you know, reverse, you know, sooner than later. The NASDAQ is the least overbought of the major indices, and you know, it's broken out, and I have a target up at 8,000, which is basically in a NASDAQ composite, which is basically 20% higher. And, you know, this Dow target I'm talking about is only 1% higher. And I think it's going to have a reversal from that level, from 23,600. So I think there's a lot more upside in the NASDAQ.
Right. But I mean, at some point, if the Dow starts to fall apart, then the NASDAQ's probably going to fall with it. I mean, at some point they do correlate, do they not?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely they will. It's just one of those things of, you know, this can happen, though. I mean, where, you know, in late 2000 or early 2000, I should say, late 99, you know, we had the NASDAQ run up, you know, far more than either the Dow or the S&P. And I think that might be something we see here where there's just limited upside for the S&P and the Dow, but, you know, significantly more for the NASDAQ.
No, I agree. I trade actually, you know, I do pairs trades in the futures market, and, you know, kind of when I'm negative, I'll buy the Dow and sell the S&P. When I'm positive, I'll do the reverse, you know, because they are directly correlated. They have the same indices inside of them. But, you know, obviously when the markets are going lower, the Dow is usually a little bit stronger than the S&P. Just because it's not quite as broad of a market, but also because people find, you know, more safety in the Dow. It's just the old fashioned index. So, you know, again, I don't know where we're going. I mean, but I can see that the spread is falling in and has been coming in. You know, the Dow has been the strongest for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, that's not always a great sign from a bull's perspective. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the argument of, well, one thing is that, you know, market breadth, when you have the leaders are the only ones going higher, then, you know, that tends to be a negative when fewer and fewer big names are pushing the market higher. That tends to be, you know, bearish over the longer run. I wanted to mention one thing that I'm looking at is HYG, the high yield bonds. We have a target at 89, and Friday's close was 88.70. So we only have about 30 cents before that's hit, and they tend to move pretty well together, the stocks and high yield. So, you know, I think we're going to get a reversal there, and then also in stocks. So.
All right. Well, no, again, I look, you know, we don't know what's going to exactly happen. We can use the footprints, is what you're doing, to kind of determine what you see next. And of course, you're bullish in general, especially the NASDAQ. What about the Russell here? What is your take there? I know you were looking for 145 as a pullback, but we've been pretty strong lately.
Yeah. It's still below resistance. It's declining resistance. If it pops above 150.50. Then I think it will have escaped, and it'll continue to break higher. Otherwise, I'm still thinking 145 is possible. If that happens, if we get down to 145, I assume the daily indicators at that point will be oversold, and it'll be setting up for a pretty good bounce. So I still think when we broke above 145, it just you know, took off like a rocket. Didn't typically, you get a little bit of a pullback, touches where you broke out from, and then takes off. It never did that. It just broke through. Once it broke through, just, you know, sort of gapped away. And so usually those gaps get closed, and that's what I'm thinking will still happen.
Oh, no, it's like the rest of the markets. They just go up, basically. You know, there's you know, even you look at last Thursday, you know, down 155 when I got up in the Dow future, and up they go from there and make a new high.
Yeah, it's acting like Bitcoin almost, you know, where it just takes off and says goodbye.
The Bitcoin has been something special, and we're going to talk about that when we come back to the break, because another new high this weekend, and it's interesting because, you know, the Bitcoin trades 24 hours a day, every day, so you can always get involved there, but we are with our guy, Matt Demeter, the technical expert of The Bubba Show, and of course, he is DemeterResearch.com, and I urge you to check out his site. He's got great information, and he's always working on making better selections and bringing more stuff to help you make better trading decisions. So make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com, and also go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And lastly, but not least, is the daily updates, which I do a video for you every day. You can go to just BubbaTrading.com and get signed up for that video. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from our guy, our technical expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz. We're coming right back with more from Matt right after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check him out. In the meantime, Matt, Bitcoin, another new record high. And of course, you know, I've talked about this, and you've been in and you've traded it. And, you know, we didn't get quite the pullback you were looking for, but it did pull back for you. And what is your take now? Is it going to the moon? Is it going to pull back a little bit? What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, we were talking about it when it got to 5,800 and something, and, you know, I'd sold a little bit. I was looking to get it back at 4,500 if I could. It only dropped to 5,100. So, yeah, you know, I layered back a few, you know, I bought back in as we were falling, but not what I had sold. So I was a little bit disappointed with that. But still picked those up at a cheaper price. So that was okay. Yeah, you know, it's. I think we're looking at a target to the upside now of 7,100, and there's a short-term target at 60. Call it 62.70, slowly declining. So, you know, we might sell more at 62.50.
All right. So,
I think it's going higher. You have to be a little bit careful with this one because you know, monthly RSI on this thing's at 90.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, a lot of guys are calling it a bubble and they're calling it a crooked thing. And I go, well, I don't know. My defense, now again, I'm not, you know, a real Bitcoin guy. I don't understand a lot of it. And, you know, I'm still trying to learn about it. But one thing I will say about it, it is the only right now true free market right now that has no outside intervention that predicts price. I mean, it's straight buyers and sellers. And I know a lot of people have the fear of missing out. And that may create some sort of bubble pop, you know, some sell off on that at some point. But it still is one market that is totally free, correct?
I think it's totally free. It's very it's one of those that's tough to manipulate, I think, in its current form. I think you're starting to get more algorithmic trading coming in. You're starting to get the ability to you've had the ability to short it for a while, probably the last year or two, maybe a little longer. I don't know, but I think it's free. I don't think there's a lot of you know, messing around there. But once futures start trading on it, and once, you know, the institutions can really, you know, work their magic, then and hedge funds can do their thing, then I think it's going to become more. You know, there's going to be more manipulative entities playing with it.
Okay. Well, again, now the futures exchange are going to be using a derivative of. But again, that still doesn't mean that the market won't be as free, because again, unless they take trading the real Bitcoin, right? If they're just doing a derivative, it doesn't. You know, the derivatives are more in control. I mean, the underlying is more in control than the derivative, correct?
Well, one would think so, but I mean, if you were to short a futures contract and that would require the shorting of the underlying, then that would push the price of Bitcoin down, I would assume. I mean, the issue becomes like what is the pricing mechanism? If it remains the underlying currency of Bitcoin, then it will stay free. But I mean, this is an issue with gold and silver. I mean, you would think of all things, gold and silver are physical commodities. You know, the physical should really run the show as far as what the pricing mechanism is. But it's not. It's the futures market. And if any markets are manipulated, you know, by banks and you know, commercial interests, it's gold and silver. I mean, they are priced based on futures.
I agree with that, except that, you know, those are not quite as widely held, nor do they trade 24 hours a day. And, you know, I don't know that Bitcoin itself is ever going to go to a main exchange. So, you know, again, to me, it's a little bit different. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Yeah. I mean, again, should it sell off? It probably needs a big sell off. I mean, it may be in a little bit of a bubbly territory here. But again, there is a lot of demand, and obviously it's a true supply demand market. So I can't really knock what's going on. It's not like you've got, you know, in the equity markets where you've got, you know, some money pushing it up besides that. You know, that's the difference. When you get a 24-hour market, it's just a little bit different. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It's interesting.
And you can't really trying to figure out what the right price for Bitcoin is impossible, because it's competing, you know, it's competing for money, right? For as a money, so as a currency. So it's not like you can tie it to, you know, earnings per share or any underlying, you know, fundamental that you could have, you know, say in the tech bubble, when you're saying these stocks are never going to make, you know, have revenues or you know, make profits. You know, it's one of those things where it's very difficult to figure out.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, it just seems. Look, I'm not saying it could be a bubble. I think it's going to be one of them. I believe is going to be a valid currency at some time in the future, and we're going to actually. It's going to be much. I mean, Bitcoin's pretty much recognized, anyways. I mean, a lot of places take it now to begin with. So we'll see how it plays. I mean, it looks pretty interesting, and you know, now we look at some of the other spaces. You know, the commodity space, and of course, you know, you've been tracking beans and corn for us, and you know, I think, you know, corn and wheat have been like, I don't know, dead, I guess, if you put them on a heart monitor, you know, at the hospital, they'd be not pronounced dead. And soybeans have been a little bit stronger, but you know, I always laugh at everybody who says, well, the dollar, they should go higher, the dollar's lower, and now the dollar's going up, so they should go lower. And I go, well what happened? The dollar went down 10% and so did grains. Right.
Right.
I mean, so what are you seeing in the grain markets today?
Well, you know, we've been staying out of them because I don't think the bear markets are over. That's the main point that I've been trying to, you know, maintain, is that we don't think that the bear market's over just yet. And you know, soybeans broke out, about a week and a half ago. And, you know, they now have space to run higher if they want to. It looks like they may be coming back down to the breakout level. You know, ultimately, I think, you know, they're heading lower in the short term. I think, you know, we could get to, you know, higher highs, but, I'm not really touching soybeans. Corn doesn't look, you know, I've basically been neutral on corn. I don't think it's, you know, hit its bear market bottom. Wheat is the only one I could make an argument for on the long term chart. And, it's not doing great either, but, if I had to do anything as usual, I would be long wheat,
which I am,
short soybeans. Yeah.
Which I'm not. I'm long wheat and long corn. But so, you made a call, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago on the Canadian, and of course it's dropped as you said it would do. What's going on in the currency world these days? What are you seeing? You know, I know that you had some targets in the euro. Do you still think that's the same target? What's your look of the currency space in general?
Well, with currency, it's just taking forever. I'm thinking we're going to get a pullback, basically back down to the lows in the dollar, and at this point, because it's a rising support that we, you know, barely missed, it's right around at this point. It's just below 91, and that's where the dollar already bottomed. So I think it would just be a move back down to 91 if we are going to get it. Yeah, but I mean, commercial. Put it this way: if we don't, it won't be totally shocking at this point. I mean, the commercials are heavily short the euro, and they are they're usually short the dollar, but they're neutral on the dollar, so that's sort of a bullish position on a relative basis. So, you know, I still would like to see, because I have incomplete patterns. We may complete a year from now, and if that's the case, then we'll be dealing with different prices. But I'm not getting short the euro just yet, nor am I getting long the dollar.
All right, and then lastly, gold, oil. You've been looking for a little bit higher, and I know you had a declining target, and I've been saying I hate oil, and I think it's. I mean, we both think it's going lower long time term, but your near term, your sell spot is still higher. Where is that sell spot spit now?
It's still right around 54. That's where I'm looking to start layering in short positions. I think we can go higher than that, though. I think we can go up to, you know, 56 or so. This pattern that I'm looking at with oil. It's I'm looking at indicators themselves, and indicators sometimes have patterns within them. So the indicator I'm looking for is daily RSI to reach 70, and right around 70, and that's when I think oil will peak. And right now it's around 56. So there's more upside. Whenever it gets close to 70, we're going to start shorting. And I think that'll probably take place between 54 and 56. I'm fingers crossed, because that's a trade I really want to do.
I'm a seller of 53, and that's it for today. This is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Check out his website. Matt, as always, thanks so much for being here, brother.
Todd, always great to be here. Thanks.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day, and that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The starting of the World Series starts, and we'll see you back here on Tuesday. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.